take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN News. Heck, you can even just tell your smart speakers to hang out with us, and they'll get you there. I'm Jason Fitz. We start you with the headlines you need to know, as we do every single day. Joe Flacco had neck surgery. He'll be out until around September 1st. So remember, the quarterback underwent neck surgery in early April, is expected to be out until September 1st, the sources confirmed to ESPN. He's 35. He was placed on injured reserve by the Broncos in November after he suffered a herniated disc in his neck. The Broncos released him in March with the failed physical designation. So we'll see what it means for the former Super Bowl MVP if and when he's able to resurrect his career. Speaking of some NFL notes, obviously the schedule came out yesterday, but an interesting note here, the Super Bowl could actually provide the NFL a pandemic scheduling solution. There was a lot of question about what the beginning of the season would look like. Would they try and schedule games they could cancel? Well, there aren't many trapdoors or hidden tricks, as Adam Schefter has written on ESPN.com in the 2020 NFL schedule released. But there are some levers the league can pull, the most significant tied to the Super Bowl. If the league does need scheduling help that science can't provide with the coronavirus pandemic, and they have to delay the season start if that becomes necessary. Sources around the league indicated the Super Bowl could be pushed back by weeks or even months potentially, while not having to make significant changes to the regular season schedule. So they could take the games they'd be missing due to the postponement, and they would just tack those on at the end of the season, delaying the Super Bowl. We'll see what that means moving forward, but at least for now, we have hope that there will be football. Lastly, the NCAA has clapped back on Kansas. Obviously, there's been allegations against Kansas, their football program, but most notably their men's basketball program. And Kansas went back and said that they wanted to appeal it. Well, the NCAA released their response to that, calling the program violations, quote, egregious and severe, and saying the violations, quote, significantly undermine and threaten the NCAA college model. They're alleging that Jayhawks coach Bill Self and assistant Kurt Townsend embraced, welcomed, and encouraged Adidas employees and consultants to influence high-profile basketball recruits to sign with Kansas. We'll see what that means moving forward, but obviously the fallout continues as we get more and more information on college programs and how dirty they are or how tied in they've been to different schools and shoe companies. It's First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All right, we got the schedule release. Yes, I said it yesterday. We've known the opponents for months. We've known this, right? We know most of the future opponents right now, but 3 hours of TV special last night got me pumped up. I'm fired up. So I'm excited for the season. I want to know, what game are you most excited for? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We now know the schedule, how it's going to be. What are you most pumped for? You pumped for Brady Breeze week one? You pumped for one of the favorite teams for your, or favorite games for your favorite team? Are you pumped for the Thanksgiving slate? Tell me what game you're most excited about. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. We'll get some of your take coming in just a second, but we start with Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless runs on the same network, so saving up to 50%. Get the unlimited plan with up to 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G for just $45 a month. No contract, Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. So we started with a little bit of Straight Talk about pressure. I just mentioned, what's your favorite matchup? Well, many people are excited for week one, where we get Brady versus Breeze. Can't believe that they gave us Brady Breeze week one. Well, the question is, who's under more pressure in the showdown between Brady and Breeze? Lewis Riddick joined Max and Stephen A. to have that debate today.
Well, I definitely think it's Tom Brady. There's no question about that. I mean, the fact of the matter is that Drew Brees is Drew Brees, and he's got to be him, and we understand there's a level of pressure that comes to that. But he's not the one that joined a new team. He's not the one 42 going on 43 in August claiming that he still got it, that he was, that, you know, his lack of success last season was in part a byproduct of being bereft of the weapons necessary in order to succeed. He's got Mike Evans now. He's got Chris Godwin now. He's got O.J. Howard and Cameron Brake now, and convinced Rob Gronkowski to come out of retirement. This is where Bruce Arians is his coach. Byron Leftwich is his offensive coordinator. This is a top three offense that he took over. It's not like they wet the bed. They may have finished 7-9, and Jameis Winston may have thrown 30 interceptions. But the bottom line is, he did pass for 5,109 yards, rather. He did throw 33 touchdowns. They were the number three offense in points and yards, and the number one passing attack in terms of yards in the NBA, in the NFL, I'm sorry. So when you take all of those things into consideration, the reality is that Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski is there. They're perceived as being a team offensively anyway, that has everything else it needs. You join in the NFC South with Matt Ryan and Drew Brees in that conference. You got to handle your business. You chose to go there. More pressure is definitely on Tom Brady.
Nope, more pressure's on Drew Brees. In fact, we already know what's going to happen. Let's say, look, they're underdogs, right? Let's say the Bucs lose to the Saints at New Orleans week one. You guys can tell me the excuses now. Brady's getting used to the receivers. We saw flashes here. We saw flashes there. It's a new coach. It's a new system. Overall, he didn't look so bad. Brees got to win. Drew Brees can't let Tom Brady come into his house week one, now in the NFC, and beat him. Look, let's not forget, when last seen on the football field, Tom Brady looked like a nice quarterback. He won elite. He wasn't elite last year, and he didn't look elite. Drew Brees still looked elite. Drew Brees still looked like a top five-ish quarterback. Brees did, Brady didn't. Brees has continuity with his coach, with his offense. They picked up a good linebacker in the draft, and a good offensive lineman in the draft. They picked up Emmanuel Sanders. I mean, right? That what's the big problem with the Saints offense? Big problem. They won 13 games last year. The problem with the Saints offense, if you want to nitpick, is they didn't have a legit guy as a number two receiver. They got it now. They got the number one. They got the number two. They have the running back. They got a tight end. Like they have everything Drew Brees needs, and he's coming off a 13-win year. The Bucs are coming off a 7-win year. And you can say whatever you want about Jameis Winston's productivity. The fact is, he gave 112 points to the other team, right? And they were 7-9. So Brady, if he improves to 9-7, people will say, oh, they moved him in the right direction, the whole thing. Drew Brees won 13 games. If Tom Brady comes in and the Bucs win the division from the Saints just like that, you act like Drew Brees doesn't have a reputation and standing on the all-time list. Tom Brady actually can play kind of carefree compared to Drew Brees. Week one, the built-in excuses, the whole thing, Brees got more pressure.
Yeah, look, I think without a doubt it is Tom Brady, and I think it's the difference in the expectations in terms of it's a change of expectations for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The expectations are already set for Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints, so that's a pressure that they already know. For Tampa Bay, Tom is supposed to be the difference. He's supposed to be the difference from a macro standpoint. Let's look at it like this. Since the Buccaneers came into the NFL in 1976, they have the worst winning percentage of all NFL franchises. During that same period of time, who has the best winning percentage? The New England Patriots. Who's largely responsible for that? Tom Brady and the program that he just came from. He is expected to bring that kind of winning culture and mentality and be the difference in Tampa Bay. And that is a tremendous change of expectations that's reflected in, look, just look at their prime time schedule. Now, you make it a little bit more micro in terms of really, let's just focus in on Tom Brady. He's supposed to be the difference also in this way. The Buccaneers started 2-6 last year. 2-6. They have to come out of the gates fast. They need to come out of the gates and show. I don't care if offenses typically lag behind defenses or not. They need to show that first and foremost, they are competent. And number two, Tom has to be the difference in terms of not turning the ball over. 41 turnovers last year for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Jameis Winston accounted for, what, 35 of them? Tom has to show that, number one, I'm not going to turn the football over. Two, I may not match Jameis's output from a pure raw yardage perspective, but I am a much better, let's just say, manager of the game in terms of not call it being the reason why we lose.
ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting, home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. The question of pressure week one is a simple one to answer. If you look the day after the game, if Drew Brees goes out and has the worst game of his career and the Saints get thumped, will the topic day one, the day after the game, be Drew Brees has lost it, he can't win, and he's not going to be able to get it done? No, that won't be the topic. It'll be, oh my God, look at how good Brady was. Now flip the script on that. If Brady goes out and just plays terrible week one for the Bucs, even though it's just week one, and even though we should be measured in weight to make any bold statements, do you think anybody's going to do that? No. If Brady goes out and he's trash week one, what are we going to say the next day on every radio show, every TV show, every talking head, or as Sarah Spain always says, bloviating gas bags. Love that phrase. Every one of us is going to come in and say, you know what? Obviously this is an indication that Brady isn't as good as he thought he was, and now he's going to be missing Belichick, and this is a reminder of why he should have stayed with the Patriots. Like, we'll be able to fill a full week of trash on why Brady is no good if he doesn't play well. That's pressure. I mean, if we're talking about pressure, neither of them have any pressure to their legacy. Neither Tom Brady nor Drew Brees are under any pressure. They might be under recency pressure, right? Like, people might yell about it today. But in 5 years after each of them retires, they will both go squarely into the Hall of Fame, and it will be easy. So there's no pressure to their long-term dynasty or their long-term legacy, whatever that means. The only pressure that they're going to be facing is the pressure of week in and week out listening to all of us yell and scream about the results. And that comes far more from Brady playing poorly than it does from Brees playing well. All right, we're going to get some thoughts on all things NFL from one of my favorites, one of our best experts. ESPN NFL front office insider Mike Tannenbaum joins us on the show. Mike, walk me through schedule release day, because obviously you already know your opponents, but you're finding out the order of it. So from a front office standpoint, what's that day like for you?
Yeah, interesting. You know, Jason, you're playing, when you're playing, it creates a sense of urgency in the building just from a standpoint of a play on. And then we're quick at things like our bye week, when are our division opponents on their bye, cold weather games, warm weather games, all those things are. And that's kind of where the discussion goes.
We're talking to ESPN NFL front office insider Mike Tannenbaum. So every fan comes in today and says, well, not every fan. Every fan that's not happy with their schedule says it's because the league has a tremendous bias against their favorite team. So as a former front office employee, do you believe that the league favors certain teams when they put together the schedule?
I don't, but boy, you talk about a hard job. You can't please everybody when you factor in home games, away games, cold weather, warm weather, you know, multiple games on a coast, you know, depending on which side of the country you're on. So it's one of those things where you can't please everybody, and we all feel aggrieved, and we look at our schedules to a certain extent.
What requests are you permitted to make before the schedule comes out to at least plead your case to the league?
Jason, that's a great question. You know, so let's talk about what's really now in terms of, let's say we're on the East Coast and we have multiple West Coast opponents. We could play them on back-to-back weeks and then stay out there. And we've done that before, and a lot of teams are doing that now. The 49ers have done that for a couple of years, and they've stayed in Ohio between games. So just ways to make the schedule a little bit more manageable.
We're talking to ESPN NFL front office insider Mike Tannenbaum. It's First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. When you were in a front office position, did you have a preference on whether you wanted to play a team early or late in the season?
You know, it would depend. And I think one of the things that we're going to be talking a lot about, Jason, this year is going to be continuity. And what I mean by that, let's go play the years. And it's Tom Brady, it's Drew Brees. But Drew Brees and Sean Payton have been together for a long time. Tom Brady has not been with Bruce Arians at all. So if it was a new, if it was a lot of older players, I wanted to play them later in the year, or maybe they were worn down or cold.
We're talking to ESPN NFL front office insider Mike Tannenbaum on First Take Your Take. I'm Jason Fitz. You mentioned continuity, and one of the conversations we have every year at the beginning of the year is trying to figure out when we can make bold statements about teams, because it takes a few weeks to see how they've settled in on offense and defense. If there's a shortened offseason for guys to prepare, how much longer will it take for everybody to gel on the field in your mind?
Oh, it's going to take a while, and I think that's where we're going to see a real premium. I think the incumbent teams have a huge advantage to, and I think that's why we're going to see some of these rookies not play a lot or play early. So guys like Tua because of Ryan Trick, or Justin Herbert because of Tyler going all the way back with Anthony Linta. We're going to see different teams come out of the gate differently. And I think this year more than others, it's really going to come down to continuity. Teams that have incumbent coordinators, even like another interesting one to me, Jason, is going to be the situation in Dallas, where even though Kellen Moore is the returning offensive coordinator, you know, Mike McCarthy hasn't been Dak Prescott yet. And when does that get resolved? So that's not Zeke Elliott holding out. This is a totally different situation. And I think this year there'll be so many intriguing storylines.
I want to ask you about a little bit of a college football question, but it ties into the NFL. Jim Harbaugh wrote a letter, an open letter, suggesting some changes to the draft system, one that would allow players that aren't selected at a certain level to essentially go back to college. Now, there's a lot of difficulty on the NCAA side, obviously, in my mind for that. But, Mike, from an NFL standpoint, how would you feel about any system that allowed somebody to test the waters of the draft but then go back to college?
I like that rule because we want to get it right at the end of the day. And we saw a couple of interesting situations this year, like Tyler Biadasz from University of Wisconsin won in the fourth round. There were some medical questions of him. Jake Fromm won in the fifth round, University of Georgia quarterback. And I think those players would benefit by going back to college. So the system's good. It's not perfect. And I think there are some things in Coach Harbaugh's letter that are really interesting to flush out. And ultimately, if the right players are playing at the right levels, I think that would be good for the entire sport.
I've got to ask you the same question we're asking everybody before we let you go. Now that the schedule's out, what game are you really the most excited for, Mike?
Oh, I'm sure like a lot of others. Week 3, Kansas City at Baltimore. Let's go. Let's have Baltimore down 4, minute 18, one timeout. They're at their own 20-yard line. Put the ball in Lamar's hand, and let's see if he can go beat Patrick Mahomes.
Well, I'm all in for that, especially if he, you know, as a Raiders fan, if he could get that done, that'd be awesome. Follow him on Twitter at RealTannenbaum. Mike, as always, man, I appreciate your expertise. I cannot wait to share a glass of something and watch some football with you this fall. We will make it happen. Thanks so much for hanging out.
All right. Thanks so much for having me.
Mike, with a great breakdown, and I always like talking to him. Follow him on Twitter at RealTannenbaum. He gives you great insight from a front office perspective of what some of these moments are really like. Don't forget, tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast. Get you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters presented by Marathon. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. Okay, so Tannenbaum's all in on Ravens Chiefs. I want your take, what you're super excited for. What game has you the most fired up? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Robert in Phoenix, what's your take?
Hello?
Yeah, Robert, what's your take, buddy?
Hey, yeah, no, I'm looking forward to Cards Cowboys October 19th. Being an Arizona Cardinals fan, we always get snubbed with primetime games, but they finally hooked us up this year, so should be a battle.
Look, I love that call because, like you said, I mean, there are certain organizations that just don't get a lot of primetime love, and when you start to see that trickle in, when it starts to open up a little bit, that's when you get super excited. Brian, in New Orleans, what do you got as the game you're most excited about?
The Raiders and Saints. Only because I'm planning on going to Las Vegas.
Let me tell you something. We're just going to have a confessional moment here. Just me and you guys. Like we're just all talking. Just us. Nobody's listening, right? Let me tell you, the number of people at ESPN I blew up last night. I mean, for the first game in the city I was born in was Las Vegas. My favorite football team, as you all know, is the Raiders. For that first game to be an ESPN Monday Night Football game, if I can't leverage some way into that, I mean, that's my in. I'm going to be at that game somehow, some way. It may get me fired, but at least it's worth trying because that's the first game in Vegas. Going to get Drew Brees in Las Vegas. I don't like the way that's going to play out for the Raiders, but it's going to be a historical moment everybody's going to want to see. Spencer in Missouri, what do you got as your favorite game that you're most excited about?
Yo, Jason, I'm excited for week 2 because I'm a Saints fan too. But honestly, I am most excited for the Christmas Day, December 25th matchup where the Saints will be hosting the Vikings. It's only the first Christmas Day game since 2000, or the first Friday game since 2009, so that's going to be weird. I think it's the only game of the day. And obviously, it's a great opportunity for the Saints to get a little payback on the Vikings for bouncing us out of the playoffs 2 out of the last 3 years.
No, I love all of that. And, you know, it's a brazen moment by the NFL to just flat out take on the NBA. I mean, Christmas Day belongs to the NBA. And now all of a sudden you have the NFL coming in and saying, no, sir, we're going to put in a matchup that will have consequence on a Friday night. I mean, that Friday afternoon, I love everything about that. KC in North Carolina, what game are you most pumped for?
Yeah, well, my girlfriend's a Raiders fan, and we're here in Carolina. So you got to love everybody's waiting for week 1. You got to love Gruden coming to town to go against Matt Rule's new Carolina system. The whole system's new and Gruden coming to town. You got to love it.
Hey, look, I think that's a great matchup to open the season with for Panthers fans. I'm excited long term in Matt Rule. I will continue to say I got the chance to spend a little time with him when I was down with game day at Baylor last year, and he's somebody that's going to implement a culture that takes a little time. So to what he wants to do, he's going to rip everything apart and rebuild it in the image of what matters to him. That, I believe, will take a little time. I think there's actually a benefit for the Raiders being the first out of the gate on this because if there is a shortened offseason, I'm not sure how much everybody's going to be able to really be in the flow for Matt Rhule. So maybe he could catch him a little off guard with some of what he's doing because they won't know what to expect. But the flip side of it is, will everybody be on the same page on the Panthers side? So going to be an interesting matchup to keep an eye on from the get-go as we're sort of breaking down your fun take. I want you to tell me which game you're most excited about now that the NFL season has been announced. We know what games are going to be when. Which game are you most pumped for? 888, say ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also, you can tweet me at Jason Fitz. Get in on the fun conversation that way. We'll get more of your take coming. Plus, a huge college coach has some ideas on how to change the NFL draft, and they're complicated. First Take discusses it next. I know you miss basketball. Fear not. You can tune in Sunday. Got an NBA Classic Game 4 in the 1998 NBA Finals between the Bulls and Jazz, presented by the Home Depot. Coverage begins at 5 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. It's First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. You guys are fired. I knew you would be. Oh, schedule release came out last night. Everybody's got their favorite games they're looking for. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. What game are you most excited about? I mean, I got to admit, like, the stars aligned for me when they decided that Vegas was going to open their new stadium for the Raiders with the Saints playing at Las Vegas on a Monday night. Ooh, I swear. Like, I don't care if I have to wear, like, if I got to beat up Adam Schefter in the parking lot to take his pass, I'm getting myself into that game. So that's for me, obviously. We'll take a couple of yours real quick. Joe in Florida, what game are you most excited for?
Hey, Jason. Hey, first of all, I'm really excited for you to be able to check out the Raiders in L.A. I know that that's kind of, like you said, a stars of alignment moment for you. But if, for me personally, as a Tennessee Titans fan and have been since day one, since the game from Houston, I'm excited for the game where they're going to be playing in a rematch against Baltimore. In Baltimore, I believe it's week 11, and I know that that's going to have some massive implications because they're definitely going to be trying to prove that last year was a fluke. And so that the atmosphere is going to be amazing, first of all. And it's really, in my opinion, and my hope is that we'll get to prove to everybody, the NFL world, and even to myself, that last year wasn't a fluke and Tannehill is the right man for the job. So that's what I'm most excited for, man.
You know, that's a great call on that. And look, I think a lot of people are sleeping on the Titans, just presuming it was a one-year thing. They also get themselves to three primetime games this time. So obviously the late night, let me just tell you, Titans fans, you haven't experienced the late night Monday Night Football doubleheader. It's a late night. You just got to prep yourself, take a nap during the day. It's the only thing that's going to get you through it. It's late, but it's worth it. Cully in New York, what game are you most excited for?
Hands down, no explanation needed. Steelers going in and spanking the Ravens on Thanksgiving Day.
Oh, and that is a good one to get on Thanksgiving. I mean, to get Steelers-Ravens on Thanksgiving, because again, as I've been saying, I think we just got to remember the Steelers have a quarterback, which they didn't have last year, so they're going to be a better football team. That is going to be an epic matchup. That's a doozy on Thanksgiving Day. I like that one a lot. And then Jesse in Virginia, what's your take on the game you're most excited about?
Listen, there's going to be a ton of entertaining games this year. Some great games, like the, you know, interdivision rivalries, big offense, but I'm a defense guy, and for me, it's defense, two top five defenses going at it late in the season, outside, in the snow. It's got to be Monday night, final Monday night game, Pats, Bills, playoff implications. It's going to be the best game of the year.
Oh, man, I hope that thing's in the snow. I'm with you on that. Like, nothing better than a late-season Monday Night Football snow game. And by the way, our NFL Nation guys, if you haven't checked it out, go look on ESPN.com. NFL Nation went up and down the entire season and predicted win-loss records for every single team. The NFL Nation guys predicted that the Bills finished 12-4 this year. So I'm telling you right now, there's a different level of expectation on the Bills. It's the most interesting thing about Buffalo this year to me is going to see how Josh Allen responds when there's this much pressure on them to be great. We're going to take more of your take in just a second as you guys tell us which game you're most excited about. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's also get a little college football mindset in here. Jim Harbaugh, the Michigan head coach, wrote an open letter to the NFL and college football, essentially explaining some changes he thinks needs to happen, not the least of which would be an opportunity for players that have declared for the draft but aren't picked within a certain number to then be able to go back to school. Now, I have to say this loudly before we get to First Take. There's a real complication on that. I mean, at some point you have to look at National Signing Day from the college perspective, and you have to ask yourself, where are those scholarships coming from? I mean, if you're Jake Fromm and you don't like your draft status and you go back to Georgia, did they hold a scholarship for you? Did they not sign somebody just in case you wanted to come back? Or is there some exemption? How many exemptions? Like, there's some complications on the college football side that make it more difficult than just going back to school. That being said, is there some plan here that is worth looking at? Lewis Riddick and Stephen A. break down the good and bad of Harbaugh's plan on First Take.
I am of the mindset that specifically when it comes to football, because of the violence that it entails, I think those developmental years prior to getting to the elite level is necessary. And I'm of the mindset it may not need to be 3 years like it is now, but I don't mind a kid having to wait until he completes his sophomore season on the collegiate level in terms of football before entering the NFL draft. Football is an incredibly violent sport. I understand there are sports like the UFC and boxing and what have you. You can enter at 17, 18 years of age, get in the ring or the square or the octagon and do your thing. I understand all of that. But football, when you consider the men that play in this game, mortgages to pay, children to take care of, families to provide for. There's an elevated level of seriousness that we simply can't ignore. And when so much is contingent upon others doing their jobs, it's not just about you and what you, what development is necessary physically, but it's also mentally and emotionally as well. The NFL can be very complicated. It's not the most simplistic thing in the world. Understanding the playbook, understanding not just your job, but the jobs of other people, all the responsibilities that come along with it, not to mention being in that situation again where you're going to make the money that you're going to make. I'm not trying to hold up anybody from making money. Please don't get me wrong. But the NFL is an entirely different beast than the NBA and other sports. It's so taxing physically. It ultimately becomes taxing mentally and emotionally. It's incredibly violent, and one injury could cost you a career. I think those early developmental stages, the freshman and sophomore year, I think it's important enough. I don't have a problem with football taking that position, but that's all. I agree with everything else Harbaugh said, but I certainly am not of the mindset that a kid is a star in high school and then you know what? Welcome to the NFL. Nah, not when it comes to football. I'm not down.
Don't draft them.
There's no question about that, Stephen A., that it's a much different game than baseball or basketball. And it's, and you know, when you break it down this way, it's not uniform across all positions that all players should be, or rather would be able to go ahead and make the jump after their first or maybe even their second year from college to the pros. And what I mean by that is this. Look, big men, offensive linemen, defensive linemen, I can tell you this, by and large, most of them are not ready to come to the NFL and deal with the physicality and the mindset of players who play in the trenches. They're just not ready. It could be something that could put them in harm's way, or rather, let's just say they're probably underperformed from a physical perspective, and then mentally, I'm just telling you this, it's a grown man's game down there in the trenches, and I don't know, some players may never recover from the kind of butt whooping they would take. Now, when you're talking about skilled players, perimeter players, running backs, wide receivers, it's much different. Look, I think when Bo Jackson and Herschel Walker were freshmen, I think right away people knew, look, you can go to the NFL right now, and you're probably going to be a 1,500-yard rusher. And as a matter of fact, I'm sure there's many running backs in today's game that would say, please let me go to the NFL as a after my freshman year, because they're holding it against me the longer I stay in college and the more mileage I do put on myself. So I think it's a tricky situation depending upon the positions. And then from a mental perspective, you're right, Stephen A. Look, when I was 18, 19 years old, freshman, sophomore in college, I promise you I wasn't ready to come to the NFL and deal with the kinds of players in the locker room that I would have had to have dealt with from a maturity perspective. I promise you I wasn't ready. So that's something you also have to factor in. As far as eligibility being used up once you declare and then not being allowed to go back, I don't think that's very fair either, because I'll tell you this, players oftentimes are making decisions, and Mike Tannenbaum alluded to this earlier this morning, players oftentimes are making decisions based on what the committee says, although the committee doesn't have all the information on those players, specifically from a medical and character perspective. So yeah, they're projecting, but they don't really have the entire picture. So you're trying to make a decision about whether or not to go out in the draft based off of someone who doesn't have the entire picture on you. Then you don't get drafted. Now you can't go back. Well, I understand, you know, and Laura has articulated this beautifully all morning long about the concerns that college coaches and administrators have about, you know, how do we then, you know, plan from a scholarship perspective when we don't, you know, if players are coming back who still have remaining eligibility, how do we plan for that? Well, I understand that that's a challenge right there, but I do think players should have the ability to come back to college. If they can't go back to the school they just left, then go ahead and enter the transfer portal and go somewhere else.
One thing,
that's
Lewis,
a chance that they should be allowed to take.
First, take your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I guess I would ask, are we fixing something that's truly broken? One thing that was explained to me repeatedly through the collective bargaining agreement negotiations in the NFL is that players are worried about what affects the largest number of players. That's why things like the franchise tag haven't been particularly important to the CBA, because it only affects a handful of players, unlike things like marijuana testing that obviously affected more players. And you see what's a priority based on the number of players truly affected by this. If we open up this portal, are we really fixing anything? Are there enough players that are actually affected by this that it should cause the complication all the way across the board? I don't know the answer to that, but what I know is that it's a very simple proposal with very complicated solutions, not only by the NFL, but also by college football. And it asks college football to change many of their rules to help the NFL. All things that I'm not sure have great wins to college football right now. We'll see what it means moving forward, though, since it came from Harbaugh. Don't forget, tune in to The Last Dance, a behind-the-scenes look at the 90s Bulls dynasty. The series continues Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Listen to the wrap-up podcast hosted by Jalen and Jacoby immediately following the broadcast, presented by State Farm and AT&T, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. I'll scream this from the mountaintops for the guys. They're not just sitting there talking about what they saw. They're also giving you stories and perspective you can't get anywhere else. So make sure you check out that podcast. We'll get more of your take on the NFL games you're most excited about. Plus, how does LeBron stack up to MJ when it comes to leading their respective teams? Well, we'll hear from First Take on that next. It's First Take, your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, your smart speaker. Did you know you could just tell your smart speakers to play ESPN Radio and then they'll get you right to us? Also, ESPN News, I'm Jason Fitz. We're asking you guys to chime in. What NFL matchup are you most excited for? Now that we've seen the schedule release, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. What NFL matchup are you most excited for? If you missed the first hour of today's show, go check it out. It's on demand in the First Take Your Take podcast, brought to you by Capital One. Why settle for average? With Capital One, you can open a savings account with the rate 5 times the national average. Welcome to Banking Reimagined. What's in your wallet? Capital One, NA member FDIC. We'll get more of your take in a second, but we're getting a lot of takes about Michael Jordan and LeBron and the comparison that will never seem to end between the two. Well, Frank Vogel was on the Sedano show on 710 ESPN LA. My guy George Sedano out there doing great work. He was talking to Frank Vogel, and this is what Vogel had to say about comparing Michael Jordan and LeBron James.
That's a tough comparison. I try to stay away from that, but to be honest, you know, like you said, the size and build, their games are different. You know what I mean? LeBron is just is more of a orchestrator of the whole team. You know, he runs all the action. He's with Tom Brady of whatever team he's a part of, the quarterback. And, you know, his vision and ability to facilitate, you know, is really, it's more like on a Magic Johnson level. I'd say that's the biggest thing.
I love the fact that a Magic Johnson comparison feels like a slight in some way when you want to be compared to Michael Jordan. And again, as I've said repeatedly, LeBron is battling ghosts here. He's taking on a legacy he can't actually do anything to change minds on. Now, LeBron was the topic on First Take today, as Stephen A. talked about whether or not LeBron pushes his teams hard enough like Michael Jordan used to do.
Let me take this opportunity to share a couple of stories with you. Remember that there was a coach, Paul Westhead, that used to coach the Los Angeles Lakers. Imagine, like, this ain't working. He got to go. You understand? There are players that have come and gone on the Los Angeles Lakers. You know why? Because Magic Johnson knew they weren't going to work. Period. Remember the playmaker, Michael Irvin? Jimmy Johnson comes up in there, and you know, what is he talking about here? Jimmy Johnson's like, what's going on with this team? Tell me what's up. And playmaker Michael Irvin had a list. This dude, that dude, they all need to go. They ain't committed, and they were gone, okay? You got Isaiah Thomas. Ask John Sally about getting a pass from Isaiah Thomas one day, Max, and laying it up instead of dunking it. Isaiah Thomas walked up to him and said, if you don't dunk that ball next time I give it to you, you won't see the basketball again for 2 months. That's what he told them. Okay, ask John Sally. Those kind of stories that I'm talking about, you never hear about stuff like that with LeBron. Ever. But you know,
yeah. I'm not saying that the brother ain't a leader.
We know he's on the Mount Rushmore. But he's a different kind of personality, man, because LeBron thinks about life off the court, too, as much as it is on it. And he's about that, you know, basketball. There's bigger things in life than basketball. And they all know it. But in the throes of playing, they ain't trying to hear that.
It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN News. Comparing leadership styles from the 80s and 90s to today also, though, forgets not just the LeBron portion of it, but the other side of it. There are athletes in general, basketball players today are different than they were in the 80s and 90s. Have we not learned that? Do you think that Scottie Pippen, Horace Grant, Dennis Rodman wouldn't have handled things differently in today's era of empowered NBA players? So, of course, leadership styles have changed, because whether you play in the NBA, whether you build widgets, whether you work at a manufacturing plant, whether you work for a car industry, guess what? Communication has changed in the last three decades. The way people work together has changed in the last three decades. And what people expect in treatment from other people has absolutely changed since the 80s. Here's breaking news. We don't treat each other the same now as we did in the 80s. And I'm here to say much of that is an improvement. So leadership styles, of course, are going to be different. I'm asking you guys to chime in. What NFL game are you most excited to see with the schedule out? Andrew in Orlando, what's your take?
Yeah, as a Bengals fan, you know, with a lot of excitement with Joe Burrow coming to town. So I'm looking forward to week one at home against the Chargers, see him in the Bengals jersey and see what he's got.
Well, and not only that, but then we get the other side of it, right? Like, you're going to get the Chargers, obviously, were such a huge part of the quarterback conversation, and what's Justin Herbert going to be as a pro? I mean, if we get Herbert in week one, I don't think we will, but if we're lucky enough to get Burrow versus Herbert, we'll take all of these Burrow versus matchups, whether it's Burrow versus Tua, Burrow versus Herbert. Tristan in Pittsburgh, always love Tristan when he calls. What's the matchup you're most excited about?
Hey, Jason. So, as you know, I call in a lot about the Steelers, and my guy Stephen A. and I are both really going to be excited about the Thanksgiving night matchup against the Baltimore Ravens in prime time, because presumably both of them are going to be in contention. It's a division rival. It's one of the best rivalries in sports, in my opinion, and everybody is going to be watching, including all of Pittsburgh. It's going to be super exciting.
You know what? You're not just right on that. You're dang right. Like, that matchup is going to be so good, I'm willing to, like, limit my turkey consumption so that I'm still awake for it. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's a Thanksgiving matchup. When you get that sort of rivalry between two teams, they're going to have so much on the line, not just for each other, for the division, but if we expect the Ravens to be amongst the elite, if you look across the board at the Chiefs and the Bills, who, according to our ESPN Nation guys, they have all three of those teams finishing 12-4. So you give me a late-season matchup that means everything, not just for the division, but also for seeding in a new playoff system where only the top overall team gets a bye, and I'm going to get that on Thanksgiving. Hell yes, I want that all day, every day. I want you guys to keep chiming in. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 with the NFL schedule now out for the world. The question is, which NFL game are you most pumped to see? We'll keep taking some of your take on that. Obviously, love getting the hype for everybody as we start to get ready for the NFL season. But in above and beyond that, the Lakers and Clippers, which team is built to be more ready when the NBA season resumes? First Take broke it down. You'll hear it next. First Take, Your Take on ESPN News.